Friday. Are you a little tired? For some reason, it feels like this has been an exhausting week. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. And again, thank you to all the right-wing websites who went ape droppings over my program and, you know, put stuff out there for people to see. A lot of right-wingers would never know about us, except for you boys. Thank you, boys. Thank you, boys. Yeah, some of the right-wing sewer sites, they love it. They put stuff out there that I've said, or they use actual clips from the program. I guess they subscribe. Good for you. Appreciate it. And I know it's reaching people. I'm sure it is. So thanks a lot. Congress has adjourned. Who could tell, right? The Republicans walked out without providing emergency aid for American ranchers and farmers. Can you believe that? And you know what? A lot of these American ranchers and farmers are going to vote Republican. Are you people crazy? Are you crazy? Oh, never mind. Anyway, Congress decided to go ahead and split. They're taking a five-week August recess. Does August have 5 weeks? Who would have thought? They refused, the House Republicans refused to consider a five-year farm measure. And then they jammed through a short-term $383 million package of loans and grants for livestock producers and a limited number for farmers. See, the Republicans will do nothing for anyone, hoping that when the voters go to the polls, the voters will do this November exactly what the voters always do, vote against their own best economic interests. By not doing anything for the past 3.5 years, the Republicans have destroyed the economy. They've pretty much destroyed the country. They pretty much have destroyed everything when you get right down to it, except their sick religion. That seems to be pumping along just fine. And then they turn around and blame this hapless president. Now, it's partly his own damn fault. I mean, Obama could have done a lot more. You know, after the first 6 weeks, he should have stopped that reaching across the aisle crap and just kicked ass and took names. And after the midterm elections, he should have come out and said, okay, to hell with you. And really went hammer and tong, using his power as executive. But no! So now, Mr. Obama, you have what you have. The job numbers came out today. The unemployment ticked up 0.1%. Wouldn't have to be that way. Wouldn't have to be that way at all, except for the right-wingers in the state capitals who continue to lay off public employees deliberately, consciously. The business community refuses, sitting on $1 trillion, refuses to move its large ass and start hiring people. And, of course, the Republicans refuse to even consider economic stimulus bills. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, Obama's going to take the rap. So, to me, the only redeeming quality of all this is that if Romney does win, and there's a very good chance that he will, because people are insane in this country, voters are mad, they're crazy. So if he does win, and we have a complete hard right turn in this country, women will be kicked to the curb. Minorities will be kicked to the curb. Immigrants will be kicked to the curb. Middle class will disappear, functionally speaking. So maybe at that point, maybe, no guarantee, maybe at that point, the people will rise up and say, okay, that's it. You never know. You never know. The Democratic leaders in the Senate had passed a bipartisan five-year farm bill. But they refused to take up the House measure because Republican House leaders said they wouldn't compromise. We're not going to compromise. Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, said, "I'm not passing a bill that only covers some producers." See, what the House Republicans are trying to do is eliminate the remaining family farms, destroy them, get out of the way so that the big agribusinesses can flourish, you know, the billionaires. According to the Times, Ms. Stabenow, who worked for months to arm-twist resistant Senate colleagues on both sides of the aisle to usher her bill through the Senate, said she would begin meeting with House agriculture leaders soon. She said, maybe when we come back in September, we can get together around what really needs to be done, which is a five-year farm bill. Nah. The renewal of a measure to protect women from domestic violence stalled. No vote there. What started out as a bipartisan cybersecurity bill that would have established standards for the computer systems that oversee the country's infrastructure was stopped by a Republican filibuster, or the threat of a filibuster. They never filibuster anymore. They just threaten, and the Democrats pee their pants and run for the cloakroom. Instead of walking up to the nearest Republican, grabbing him by the lapels and say, go ahead, sucker, filibuster. Let's see you do it. What am I talking about? That would require courage. So, a measure to protect women from domestic violence down the toilet, spending bills and tax measures down the toilet. For lawmakers in states with large agricultural industries, August may be the longest month. It says here, as farmers, ranchers, and producers clamor for a bill to extend programs that begin expiring in September. Nope. The idea, rancher, farmer, is to drive your ass out of business. That's what the Republicans are going to do. You are going to lose your ranch. You're going to lose your farm. Now, it just so happens they've been trying to do this for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, God is helping them out because God has determined that your ranch, your farm, is going to turn into a dust bowl, and your livestock are all going to shrivel up and die unless you sell them. So, I mean, God has made it very clear he's on the side of the Republicans. Any Republican senator or House member would tell you that. So, goodbye, small farmer. And don't you wish you would have voted Democrat? Nah, of course you don't. Without the aid that these farmers needed, livestock producers will now have zero government safety net programs to aid them in their losses of feed. Well, okay. You built it yourself, didn't you? God damn it, now what are you going to do, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Rancher? You built it yourself. This is what your president was talking about. Nobody builds anything in this country themselves. Nobody. It is an impossibility. You know why? Because if I sell something, I count on you to buy it. If you sell something, you count on me to buy it. If we don't have that exchange, there's no economy. But now, the farmers and ranchers, well, now you're going to have to start selling or killing off your animals. No government safety net program. So this is what you right-wingers always wanted. Here you are. It's all urine.
Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost. to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Past the hour. So according to the Guardian of the UK, the worst drought in 56 years is intensifying in the United States. The latest drought map released on Thursday by the National Drought Mitigation Center showed the drought intensifying across the grain belt in the Midwestern and Plain states. A climatologist and drought monitor author at the National Drought Mitigation Center, which is based in Nebraska, said in a press release, quote, "It's hard to believe that it's getting worse, but it is. Even with some rain in the region, drought continues to intensify through the Midwest and Plain states." According to CNN, crop insurance losses are expected to break records. The president of the National Crop Insurance Services, which is a lobbying group, said it'll be a major loss situation. The companies are in the field adjusting claims as we speak. So there goes that industry. One estimate for the losses is around $20 billion. That's insurance. And an economist noted that 60 cents of every dollar of crop insurance is, oh my goodness, backed by the federal government, which will leave, guess who, picking up the tab. I built this farm by myself, goddammit! Really? Then why am I going to wind up paying for your crop insurance? You see how this goes? 60 cents of every dollar of crop insurance is backed by the feds, which will leave you and me picking up the tab. Huh? But I thought, you know, they did it themselves. I built this. I don't need nothing. In a pig's ass, you don't need nothing. You need everything. You need all the help you can get. But see, here we go again. Who pays for the losses when we go to war or invade a country? Not go to war. When we invade a country and commit acts of war criminal acts by our leadership, who pays? We pay. Who pays when the gamblers in the financial services industry decide to make billions and then ram it up our rear ends? Who pays? We pay. Who pays when God decides to punish all these right-wing farmers with fires and drought and heat? And that's what they say. They say it's God. They call it an act of God. So don't get in my face, bro. It's called an act of God. It's not called an act of nature. It's not called global warming. It's not called poor management of resources. It's called an act of God. So, when God decides to beat the living hell out of these farmers and ranchers, who pays? We pay. And I don't even believe in the fool. But you see how this works? You see how this works? Meanwhile, out in the Midwestern and the Plain states, how many of those, I mean, some of those states would no more vote Democratic if somebody held a threshing machine to the top of their head and said, I'm going to stick your head in here, boy. They still wouldn't vote Democratic. They'll continue to vote Republican and expect, they'll continue to expect you and me to cover their losses. Of course. And by the way, that's what the farm bill is all about. You want a good farm bill? Get the goddamn government out of farming, period. And take the futures speculators and run them out of town on a rail. Now we've solved that. Now let the farmer grow stuff and sell stuff. No. That's not how we do it, Mike. I mean, that would be free enterprise. We only talk free enterprise in this country. We don't actually practice it. We practice socialism, but the socialism only flows one way. So, here we are, once again. We have a couple more real horrible situations with ministers of the Lord. Oh, man. You know, I just... You know, there's some obnoxious rabbis and there's some real crazed Muslim imams. But I'll tell you, where it concerns sexual depravity, there's nothing like Catholics and Protestants. Huh? We'll be right back. Grinding on the same stories over and over and over again. I really do. But now, as a Southern Maryland pastor who amassed millions in wealth, he's been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for hiding church assets and failing to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. This guy was the minister, Robert Freeman, minister of Save the Seed Ministry. He bought luxury cars, had a $1.75 million home, 2 4-car garages, a jet ski lift. But on Monday, prosecutors in Greenbelt, Maryland, concluded he had taken money from his congregation to afford all this property. Really? The Washington Post reports that Reverend Freeman lived a life of fraud and deception, using millions of dollars from church members and fraudulently obtained credit to pay for luxury cars and a mansion while falsely representing in court that he was indigent. You people wonder why I jump on these rancid-ass Christians. A judge, in sentencing Freeman to 27 months in prison and ordering him to pay more than $630,000 to 4 church members who had been duped, the judge said, quote, "The essence of this crime was taking advantage of unwitting people." Of course they're unwitting. And then this one is pretty gamey. I don't know, you may want to get your kids away from the radio on this one. It's a big deal. This is from Hammond, Indiana. The former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. One of those great big old big ass mega churches. 15,000-20,000 members, according to WGN in Chicago. Big ass church. Well, guess what? Jack Schaap, the reverend who has led the church for the past 11 years, he's been boinking some of the little girls in the church. This one is 16 years old. FBI is investigating because this freak may have made videos and passed them out. The 16-year-old that he got busted over was going to him for counseling. In a written statement, the church spokesman, Eddie Wilson, said that Reverend Schaap was removed, quote, due to a sin that has caused him to forfeit his right to be our pastor. Sin? How about a crime? This is a criminal son of a bitch. This is a child rapist. The church spokesman added, quote, our church gives over the need to take this action. Oh, our church grieves over the need to take this action and the impact it will have on our people. We ask that everyone pray for the families involved and pray that the situation will be handled in a Christ-honoring manner. We look forward to the days ahead as we continue to service the needs of our surrounding community and the Chicago area. Really? You're going to issue a statement like that? Are you kidding? Parishioners were shocked when they heard the news. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked! One of the parishioners described the pastor as, quote, very charismatic, very magnetic. She added, he's always saying how his wife is beautiful and so much in his life. This is jaw-dropping. My God. You know how they were... or how he was caught? Oh, but first, Eddie Wilson, the director of public relations for the church, can you believe that? Public relations for a church, told the Chicago Sun-Times that the church does not believe Reverend Schaap is being investigated for anything criminal. The pig's ass he isn't. But anyway, the executive board of the church is cooperating with the sheriff's department, quote, for the sake of transparency and honesty. Now, regarding Schaap and his wife, Cindy, whom he married in 1979, the spokesman said, they're trying to reconcile their marriage. I'll bet they are. They're trying to reconcile the marriage. They're praying. Now, the reason, one of the reasons the FBI is in this is that, apparently the Reverend here, the Reverend Schaap, took the girl to Illinois and Michigan for his rape. A detective involved in the investigation also has reportedly said that there are indeed criminal charges being made since the case. If the case solely concerned adultery with another woman, the police would not even gotten involved. But what is it, the Mann Act? Aptly named. 16-year-old girl going to him for counseling. This is just so common these days, isn't it? It's just so common. And this is a big-ass Baptist church, man. Big-ass Baptist church. Amen. You know, the prosperity gospel preachers, do they not read the part of the Bible that says it will be easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Or do they just ignore that? I guess they just ignore it. And then I got this email from Brian in Seattle. Dear Mike, I'm writing in to tell you how much I truly have come to enjoy your show. I typically listen to it during the 30-minute drive to work every night. While I can't hear all 3 hours given my work and sleep schedule, what I do get to listen to never ceases to educate, enlighten, and amaze. Let me digress. Brian, subscribe to the podcast. You can have the whole thing. I mean, it's only 25 cents a program. Come on, dude. Back to his email. What makes this most interesting and at first disturbing to me is that I am a born-again Christian in my late 30s and have a deep faith in and close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Before finding your show, I was a straight down-the-line conservative listening to a daily diet of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and others of that ilk. I had been listening to these people for a very long time before discovering you. You can imagine the first few times I listened to you, I almost didn't come back the next night, but sure enough I did. And I am the better for it. Well, I can't say you converted me on too many political issues other than global warming and capitalism. What keeps me coming back is your discussion of religion, and particularly the Bible and Jesus. During the 6 months I've been listening to your show, I've heard more discussion about Jesus and references to biblical scripture than I have in the 19 years of listening to Rush Limbaugh or any conservative talk show host. Ironically, Mike, your show brings me spiritual enlightenment I would never get from the corporate conservative talk show types. Somehow, listening to your unique way of discussing the Bible and faith strengthens my faith in Christ and sets me straight about the Republicans in ways you're more effective than many of the evangelical Christian pastors I've listened to. Modern-day corporate Republicans are the people Jesus warns about in Scripture, and if Jesus were to come back today, I wonder if the corporate Republicans would end up crucifying him and televising it on Fox News. Thanks for the great education, and God bless you, Kathy, and your entire family. Brian, that's not exactly the intent here. You know, to strengthen your belief in superstition and insanity. I mean, if that's the end result, I guess we'll all have to live with that, won't we, Brian? But for heaven's sake, dude, you're apparently not really listening to what we're talking about here when we get all bonkers about religion and the people in your faith, so to speak, who spread this stuff. You know, I don't come on the air to seek to strengthen your faith in superstition. I really don't. But what is if you find that your faith is made stronger by listening to this program. Okay. Ow! So anyway, that's from Brian in Seattle. Thank you, Brian. Got a couple more here. Oh, by the way, this is Podcast Trivia Night, so in about 45 minutes we will give away a 1 year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads commercial free. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Right now, here's Mike Molloy.
Ten before the hour, from Marty in Sacramento. Mike, sorry for tuning in late. Don't have satellite radio, need to be online. I heard you speaking the other night about a talk with your daughter about the Chick-fil-A thing. You commented that you, when you were talking about the big lines out in front, you didn't see a black person. Sadly, my friend, you were not in Riverside in Southern California. You might have seen several blacks, likely women, all of who are related to me. They are very religious, meaning they're indoctrinated into the cult. Being the elder brother, very elder, I have escaped being indoctrinated into the religious industrial complex. Remember, even more than the KKK, there isn't anyone more bigoted than a black evangelical Christian. From nearly an atheist, the rest of me is agnostic, Marty, languishing in Sacramento, listening online as what used to be 1240 Talk City is now 1240 Radio Catolica. Right. Thanks, Marty. And Richard Land, the man who became the public face at the Southern Baptist Convention on ethical and political issues for nearly 25 years, has announced plans to retire in 2013. The decision comes months after Mr. Land, president of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, made controversial comments about the Trayvon Martin case that resulted in a reprimand and the loss of his radio talk show for the racial tension his comments caused. Land said Tuesday in a letter announcing his retirement that he has no intention of ending his role as a culture warrior. I'm a culture warrior. I'm a bigoted, racist, crazy-ass culture warrior. That's what they're called now, culture warriors. Got to save the culture from the gays and the atheists and the liberals and, you know, colored people, too. He said, quote, I believe the culture war is a titanic spiritual struggle for our nation's soul. And as a minister of Christ's gospel, I have no right to retire from that struggle. End quote. If you remember, back in June, the Reverend Fred Luter became the SBC's first African-American president. He says he doesn't believe that Reverend Land was forced out by church leaders. Luter considers the remarks made by Mr. Land a, quote, low moment, end quote. That should not diminish Reverend Land's commitment to racial reconciliation. Oh, yes. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! These people crack me up. The thing that is most disturbing about these folks, and again, the only reason I talk about this so much is because they have forced their toxic, poisonous religion into the political sphere. And once that happened, and it's been a gradual thing. First, it was posting the Ten Commandments in courtrooms and on public property, which is a big-ass no-no. I don't care what you religious freaks believe. That's a no-no. That's kind of what started it. And now it's just, I mean, it's everywhere you look. Fundamentalist Christianity. It's just being pushed into everybody's face, crammed down everybody's throat, zipped into everybody's eyeballs. What is wrong with you people? Is it just that you are so insecure and scared to death about your own fantasy stories that you just feel like everybody has to believe? Everybody's got to believe it, or somehow you'll figure out a way to torture them? Huh? You sick bastards. I mean, you really are. It's just so sick. Why don't you go get well? Why don't you? You ever thought about sanity as opposed to your madness? But that's the only reason I bring it up. You know, this whole Chick-fil-A thing this week. I mean, you know, OMFG. What is that? How can tens of thousands of people line up? And like I mentioned last night, somebody's circulating that graphic. Big lines around these filthy chicken cemeteries. But when somebody puts out the call to go work in a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter, I realize there are a few people of faith who do that. But do you see that kind of line? Do you see people lined up to help? Hell no. You see people lined up to seed their bigotry, though, don't you? But that's the only reason I keep bringing it up, is because these right-wing religious nutcases have injected their superstitious belief system into just about everything, including politics. And it's so tiresome. In addition to pissing me off royally, it is just so tiresome. Why don't you people just go, you know, do what Jesus told you to do? You know, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit people in prison, love your neighbor. Oh, no! I like that thing they have now. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Oh, what a cop-out. I mean, give me a break. There's very little difference between the Reverend Fred Phelps, a bunch of crazed, incestuous morons that run his church, and so-called mainstream evangelical Christians. You tell me the difference. Tell me the difference. These clowns that showed up draped around Chick-fil-A this past week were just, they just didn't have the signs that said God hates fags. They didn't have to. They were the signs.
Tuned.
Climate change and environmental issues. I got an email from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, about something that I think I was kind of tangentially aware of, but not to the depths that it exists. It's from the article's from Think Progress. The hidden epidemic of murder. Environmentalists are being killed in record numbers around the planet. Have you heard about this? The guy who wrote it, George Black, says a few weeks back, a photographer, Ron Haviv, and he were in Cajamarca, Peru, where this company, it's based in Denver, Colorado, it's the Newmont Mining Corporation. They plan to spend almost $5 billion on a new gold mine in an environmentally sensitive area of the high Andes. According to George Black, the project has provoked massive opposition. And as he described in one of his last columns, he says the photographer Haviv and he were detained by security officials when they tried to visit the mine site. They were later tear gassed by riot police during a demonstration that was called in protest of the killing of five opponents of this gold mine project earlier that day. And as George Black writes, the story doesn't end there. He says, when we went back to our hotel later that night, we went online to find details of the newly declared state of emergency in Peru. What we found, sharing the day's headlines, was a wire service story reporting that Chinese officials had halted work on a new copper alloy plant in Sichuan province after mass demonstrations in which 13 people were hospitalized after being attacked by riot police. A couple of minutes on Google then took us in quick succession to two people, or perhaps four, reports are contradictory, killed in protests in late May against a giant copper mine in the southern Peruvian province of Cusco. And from there to the bodies of two Brazilian environmental activists found tied up and drowned 50 miles north of Rio. The two men had been involved in protests against a huge new petrochemical complex financed by the state oil company Petrobras, which would threaten the rich fishing grounds of Guanabara Bay. And as George Black writes, and so it went, case after case, country after country, a veritable worldwide epidemic of killing. Most of it is provoked by opposition to the competitive stampede by powerful corporations making multi-billion dollar investments to dig up, cut down, and ship out the world's remaining natural resources, a disproportionate amount of which lie beneath the soil of developing countries, and more often than not, in the territory of indigenous peoples. And he adds that a report last month by a London and Washington, D.C.-based group called Global Witness summarizes some of the known facts. Their new report says that 106 environmental activists were killed in 2011, the highest number ever recorded, up from 96 the year before. And in the last decade, 711 environmentalists have been murdered in 34 different countries. Many of these were targeted assassinations. 592 of the recorded killings were in Latin America, 108 in Asia, almost half of them in the Philippines, 11 in Africa. 365 of the ones in Latin America were in Brazil. That works out to more than half of the world's total. Peru comes in second with 123. The point, of course, without my elaborating on it, is obvious. As the world's known reserves of things that can be dug up, burned, sucked up with pipes, as those resources continue to diminish, the competition for those remaining increases, and God help you if you want to preserve a fishing area or a mountaintop in West Virginia or ecologically balanced rainforest in South America. If you are trying to save the planet in opposition to the predations of these companies, you will be murdered, period. Your loss is absolutely meaningless. In killing you, the corporations who hire the gunsels to go do the assassinations, in your death, the killing of you is nothing if you're an environmentalist. It doesn't mean a thing. Nothing. Nothing. And I worry, I truly do worry about some of the environmentalists in this country that I know about, one or two I know. I think about a friend I have in West Virginia who's very active, trying to stop mountaintop removal. Now, it just so happens that coal, of course, is not a resource that is diminishing. What did I read the other day in, is it Mongolia? Probably the largest, close to the surface, coal reserve on Earth has been discovered. And companies are moving in there. Now, the problem with this huge supply of coal, Mongolia doesn't have an infrastructure that would make it easy to get this stuff out. So as bad as the coal is, it's going to have to be trucked or shipped somehow over long distances to get to China, which is where it'll go. More pollution. I mean, we really are hell-bent on suffocating ourselves. And the Christians in this country are running around boycotting Chick-fil-A or supporting Chick-fil-A so that the queers can't get married. I mean, this is goddamn madness. This is just total madness. It really is. And the Muslims, sure, I talk about Muslims sometimes. The Muslims are burying women up to their heads and then stoning them to death because they are accused of, not convicted of, but accused of adultery. So bury them up to their heads, up to their necks, whatever, and then throw stones until they stop twitching. And, you know, their eyes are hanging out and teeth all busted and huge chunks of their skull knocked away. Ain't religion grand? I mean, isn't religion just thrilling? All right, if you want to chat, the phone lines are open, 877-996-2556. We'd like to hear from you. If you don't want to chat, I certainly understand. I wouldn't call this program. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Here's Mark Taylor Canfield in Seattle with Occupy. Hello, Mark. I'm going to be able to say hello and get a few words out of you, then have to put you on hold.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I just wanted to respond and say this is one of the few programs I actually would call into because I know you actually listen.
Well, now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Do you call other shows where you don't get listened to? Come on.
Yes, if I bring up the Occupy Wall Street movement, the producers tend to say that's not our topic today. So
the producer,
I won't mention names, but other so-called liberal talk shows.
You have to work your way through a producer, huh?
Yeah, they just don't like to cover, and even the talk show hosts themselves, who I've met personally, they don't necessarily want to cover the Occupy Wall Street movement on their program. They want to cover Romney versus Obama. That's their talking point. You know?
All right, stay there. All right, Mark, I'll be right back. We got to do a commercial break here.
You know, sometimes I'm so carefree with a joyless heart. And sometimes I can't see.
Radio Right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Back to Mark Canfield in Seattle.
Yeah, Mike, I'm a trained journalist, so I can't help but give you reports when I call in. So I wanted to give you a quick update on some things that are happening in Seattle that affect the Occupy movement and then get your
Sure.
And then I would like your comment on something that's a really important issue in the Occupy movement, but first, the U.S. Department of Justice and the mayor and the Seattle Police Department have finally agreed on instituting some reform measures to correct their policy of using excessive force. So at first, the police chief, John Diaz, denied the charges, and sided with the police guild and claimed that the DOJ charges were ridiculous. And then Mayor Mike McGinn also balked on the required DOJ reforms for a while. But a few days ago, they finally avoided a Department of Justice federal civil rights lawsuit by accepting 7 years of DOJ oversight and a series of actions to stop the civil rights violations, a series of reforms. And now I wish that they had dealt with the issue of racial profiling, but that got taken off the table right away. And at this point, there are 34 civil rights groups and community groups that had called for the DOJ investigation that now condemn the whole process and walked away from the table because they say that they were never given a voice. So there have been sit-ins at the mayor's office demanding the resignation of our police chief. And there's also been some protests outside of the local FBI office this week because the activists are claiming harassment. But I wanted to let people know that that's the situation in Seattle. You know, it's been a mess for a while, and it's not necessarily cleaned up yet. But the issue I wanted to ask you about was this announcement that came out a few days ago, I think it was late last week, by Homeland Security saying that they actually have ordered all sorts of new riot gear and are expecting some kind of unrest around the Democratic and Republican National Conventions and the election. Have you heard that? Do you have any idea what they're talking about? What do you think that they're looking at?
Well, I mean, it's been an historical truth that you find demonstrations outside or as close as you can get to these political conventions, because most people understand how corrupt both political parties are. As far as the ordering up of riot gear and equipment, I guess the Department of Homeland Security has decided that this may be the year where, because of Occupy, this may be the year when there is just too much for the police to put up with as far as fences and barbed wire and get over there if you want to exercise your First Amendment rights. So it's probably just a shot across the bow, so to speak, to let people know. I'm sure that information is supposed to get out there so that Occupy or anyone else who might want to exercise a First Amendment right would just tremble in their boots and stay home. So, yeah, I'm sure it's true. Absolutely sure it's true. And I'm also absolutely sure there's going to be some real hell probably at both of these conventions.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I wonder if they're sort of doing what authority almost always does, which is, you know, overreact to the slightest challenge to their
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you don't have to militarize your police force in order to maintain order, as people are demonstrating, as the First Amendment gives them a right to do. No police force in the United States has to do that. But we don't live in the United States anymore. We live someplace else. And in this someplace else that we live, yeah, of course, the police departments, they're using weaponry that is, would normally one would expect to find on a battlefield. So do I think they're overreacting? Of course, but that's the nature of the beast now. It's the same thing that Schwarzkopf said right before he invaded Iraq the first time, that he would not lead an invasion unless he had massive 1,000-to-1 ratio, overwhelming force, and then he would invade. And that's precisely what he was given to invade. And you remember, we had, 300,000-400,000 troops stationed in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, mostly in Kuwait, I guess, because the Saudis are a little bit nervous about that sort of thing. But the police departments have developed the same attitude, and the state police. I've been face to face with some of these state troopers, and it's pretty scary, which is what it's supposed to be. You look like, or it appears like, and I'm sure you've seen this too, it appears like you're staring into the face of an invading alien army from some goddamn different time zone or star system. And that's exactly what you're supposed to think.
Well, I was actually arrested and detained by Washington State Patrol at the state capitol during a sit-in outside the governor's office. And we sued and won a federal civil class action lawsuit against the Washington State Patrol, so they're no longer able to bar. Not only did they detain me illegally and never bring me before a judge or a jury, They banished me from the state capitol and all the surrounding property so that I couldn't my job as a reporter and even cover the issue.
Banishment? Oh, my God. How medieval. Hey, Mark, I have to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you're checking in. Stay in touch, please. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. When we come back, podcast trivia. So if you're online, Kathy will ask you if you want to play. If you're not online, you want to play podcast trivia, call us. 877-996-2556.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
25 past the, or before the hour, I should say. All right, it is time for, once again, podcast trivia. All you have to do is get the right answer for a multiple choice question. If you get the right answer, you win a 1-year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads, commercial free, blah, blah, blah. You know the routine. All right. We've got Roy in Fort Pierce, Florida. Hi, Roy.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. You ready to play this?
I was just calling in. I'm glad to hear you're raging again. I thought somebody was slipping you Prozac. You know, a few nights ago, it sounded like you were on Prozac. But
oh, really?
Back to your good old self, raging, so that's good.
You mean I sounded, what, sedated?
Yeah, almost like, you know, you've just kind of given up. But, now, you know, the last couple of nights you've been raging, so that's what we want to hear.
Okay. All right, are you ready?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. Here's your question. Republican presidential nominee and religious cultist Willard Romney continues to refuse to release his federal tax returns. Now, this week, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said it is because A, Romney has made a pact with Satan. B, Romney paid zero taxes for the past 10 years. C, Mormons are allowed to avoid taxes because the angel Moroni said so. Or D, Barack Obama's birth certificate is a phony.
I've been in Venezuela the last couple of weeks. I have no idea, but I'll go for C because it sounds the most ridiculous.
C, Mormons are allowed to avoid tax. No, I'm sorry, that's not it, Roy. I know there's a lot of Mormons who would like to believe that that's the case, but that's really not it. Oh well, you gave it a shot. Now you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I just want to say keep raging. No more Prozac, okay?
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks, Roy. All right, we're looking for another. Oh, we do have one. Marcus in Houston, Texas. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Pretty good. You ready for this?
Let's get it.
All right, I'll give you the question again. Republican presidential nominee and religious cultist Willard Romney continues to refuse to release his federal tax returns. Now, this week, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat, said it is because A. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Reid said it's because A, Romney made a pact with Satan. B, Romney paid zero taxes for the past 10 years. C, Mormons are allowed to avoid taxes because the angel Moroni said it's okay. Or D, Barack Obama's birth certificate is a phony.
I'll go with B.
B, that's right. It gets harder and harder to get these damn sentences out. All right, Marcus, you obviously got the right answer. So before we hang up, Kathy will get the pertinent information. Now you wanted to talk about humans.
Well, you know, I just wanted to pick up on what you were talking about earlier. You know, as far as you got these folks, you know, I'm in the car business and. Mm-hmm. I have a Chick-fil-A right around the corner from the dealership.
Yeah.
So I was going to go to Chick-fil-A for lunch, and there was just a massive, a crowd I've never seen before. It's like going to a mall
right.
Back to school on a Saturday.
Right.
I mean, just people everywhere. Well, anyway, they had a kiss-in, I think today, somewhere in Houston. You know, and it's just, you know... It's almost kind of like, you know, we're in the Matrix. I mean, you know, people are just crazy right now.
All right.
And then also, another thing, you were talking to Mike, who was talking about Occupy. And I really had high hopes for Occupy.
Oh, you mean you Mark? Talking
Mark,
about, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I thought that Occupy was going to, you know, form something and really try to, you know, get something done. I mean, we're talking about the 99ers. And, I mean, here we are talking about civil rights violations and all that. I mean, we got voter ID, you know, things going on with these legislatures. I mean, you know, everybody's just going bat crazy.
I know.
And we're talking about civil rights, you know, violations and stuff like that and sit-ins. I mean, that's the reason why we can't get a third party in this country. You know, we're sitting up here talking about this petty-eddy stuff, but, I mean... let's get organized and, you know, try to get something actually done for the country.
Well, I agree with you on part of that, Marcus, but let me answer you on the radio. Thanks. I appreciate it. Now, hold on.
Okay.
Because I'm going to put you back on hold, and Kathy will get the information. First of all, Occupy is not... Occupy is not a movement specifically designed to change things. That's the reason they don't have a list of demands. They don't have, a hierarchy where, you know, this person leads that faction, this person leads that faction. There's no ministries, a minister of truth or minister of getting food on the table. Occupy is an idea that came together to try to educate people. This is my take. I don't speak for Occupy. This is me as somebody who's totally on the sidelines, okay? Totally on the sidelines. But to me, it looks like Occupy was a movement that was designed pretty much for one thing, and that is just to raise consciousness a little bit, because we're not getting the information we need from media. So Occupy popped up and said, okay, look, there's the 99% and there's the 1%. Now, media, being what it is, immediately picked up on that. So the idea of trying to educate folks about this very simple truth really caught. I mean, it took off. And all of a sudden you have Occupy consciousness, if you will, all around the planet. Now, as far as changing things, again, as Occupy... either withers and dies or continues their education of people or their consciousness awareness. Okay. A very good friend of mine, Tara, from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, wrote a scathing letter, which I, you know, kind of agreed with. Not kind of, I did agree with. She's tired of hearing about process. And I think a lot of people, I think you're tired of hearing about process. So, me too. I'm tired of hearing about, ideas. There's enough ideas out there. I think Occupy is important. It's an important, I wouldn't even call it a movement. Again, it's kind of a free floating consciousness raising, organization. You either have learned something from it or you have not, but to look toward any movement to lead us out of the wilderness, I think is going to be a little bit difficult. We're beyond being led out of the wilderness. In the first place, the power in this country knows how to destabilize a movement in 10 minutes. The power in this country, corporate power, I'm talking about corporate power, the corporate capitalist government power, they know how to destabilize, they know how to remove the leadership, they know how to infiltrate. The corporate America uses the Fox terror broadcast organization, Rupert Murdoch's terror organization, to destabilize and denigrate any kind of a movement. So movements are not needed right now. Well, to me, I mean, this is just my opinion. I'm one of 330 million people. To me, what is needed is massive resistance. Leaderless. Just people saying, I've had enough. And it may take the election of another Republican moron like Mitt Romney to lead this country, because he won't lead it. But once he's elected, if he is elected, of course, the country starts to go fascist very, very quickly. And it may take something like that. And you know, I've been talking about this for 5 years. Obama got elected and kind of stalled the movement to change the way we govern ourselves in this country. But if Obama is not reelected, then and Romney is, then I think that might be the impetus to put people in the street finally. But we don't need leaders, and we're not going to have leaders. We're not going to have, this is not the 60s, just like you said. I mean, we're not talking about civil rights or human rights or, I mean, we're talking about it, but there's the issues here are so intertwined that you can't talk about human rights without acknowledging global warming. You can't talk about the destruction of the rainforest without talking about human rights. I mean, everything is interconnected here. And everything in terms of resistance has to be interconnected, which means no leaders, no committees, with using social media, people connecting and reconnecting and reconnecting until the point where you reach that tipping point where millions of people take to the streets and say, that's enough. That's enough. And people who want to speak about what we want, which should be everybody, it'll be a cacophonous avalanche of noise. But that's the way it's going to be, if it's going to change at all. So that's all I wanted to say about that, okay? We'll be right back.
I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really has a chance.
Everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Bruce in California has sent me a quote from Howard Zinn. Here it is. Civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. People are obedient in the face of poverty, starvation, stupidity, war, and cruelty. Our problem is that the grand thieves are running the country. That's our problem. That's a good point. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, civil disobedience is absolutely not a problem. Civil obedience is the problem. And as far as I'm concerned, that's just about the only way that things are going to change in this country. Massive civil disobedience. I just wonder if Americans are still capable of doing such a thing. All right, where are we? Here we are. Peter is in Burlington, Vermont. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. And you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good.
Got a shout out to all the wonderful people in the chat room.
Okay.
And best to you and all the Malloys, obviously. Wanted to talk about a local issue. Someone in the chat room is referring to how a military industrial complex produces nothing but debt. My issue is the F-35. They want to base it in South Burlington, Vermont, which would render about 1,300 homes, according to Air Force standards, incompatible with residential use. And remarkably, Bernie Sanders and Peter Welch are supporting efforts to bring this plane to Burlington, Vermont.
Bernie Sanders is?
Yeah, it's a real heartbreak for the community. I mean, he has a lifelong legacy of supporting affordable housing. The community in particular is a little town next to Burlington called Winooski, Vermont. There's also a 50-year-old neighborhood of affordable housing near the airport. Those 1,300 houses, about 6,000 people, will now live in an area deemed incompatible with residential use. They'll have to disclose that when they try to sell these properties. I don't know if you know this, but the F-35, according to the Air Force, is projected to be four times as loud as the F-16s. Mm. And I'm outside where I live, outside what would be called the 65 decibel zone. But It's over a daily average. It's fairly extensive. I don't want to get into it, but...
Hold on just a second. I just want to ask you, do you have any idea why Bernie Sanders is supporting... Now, he's supporting the development or a factory to build these things or to test them. Is there a military base? I mean, what's going on?
Well, that is... I mean, I remain... That... Other people in the community that have supported Bernie, you know, or known him, are really just completely, you know, they don't understand why he's supporting it. I think his position has been that, well, there is a military budget and there is a base in Vermont, so I'm going to support it. But the F-35, the program should be killed on its own merit, similar to the F-22 before. If your listeners want to read about the boondoggle, all they have to do is Google the phrase, the jet that ate the Pentagon.
I think most people listening to this program are familiar with the F-35, which, if I'm not mistaken, that was designed to stop the Soviet invasion of Western Europe.
Right.
Which, last time I checked, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. I mean, we have a tourist economy. We're Ben and Jerry's. What's it going to do for that thing to be?
It's pretty astonishing. Do you go to the chat room?
I'm Vermont native once in a while.
Oh, Vermont native. Okay. Is there any way you can find out? Send me a link where Sanders is supporting this, so that I can talk about it on the air. I haven't heard about this at all.
Okay, I'll try to send you articles that basically. I mean, I feel like it's really Pat Leahy's thing, but it's remarkable that our congressional delegation has just remained in lockstep on this issue, that it's, you know, they're supporting the Guard. The other thing is that I believe that there was information provided in the initial round of scoring that said there's no incompatible development, a.k.a. housing, within what's known as the 65 average daily decibel zone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole town in that zone. And I guess the Air Force's position is, well, that was phase one, and now we're in phase two, so it doesn't matter.
Jesus.
But if there's been a major, you know, error in the scoring process, they need to look at it. And thank God, a woman on the city council in South Burlington, which is the city that holds the Air Force, happened to be a 30-year Air Force colonel who was retired, who had the, you know, knowledge to wade into this and get the scoring data for the basing decision. So this has come out.
Well, I'd like to see more, Peter. If you have some direct links, I could Google it. But if you have some direct links, I'd appreciate it, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Wow. Not Bernie Sanders. No. Really? All right, if you're on hold, stick around. We're going to take a break and come back momentarily. We do have one open line. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 877-996-2556. Bernie Sanders? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. Jude in Seattle just sent me this. I missed this one. Maybe you didn't. Thousands of people marched in central Jerusalem yesterday. It was the 10th anniversary Gay Pride Parade, passing by the spot where an ultra-Orthodox Jew stabbed 3 participants in 2005. Some carried rainbow banners and others had signs proclaiming a decade of marching in Jerusalem and love thy neighbor. Opposition to such events is fiercer in Jerusalem, where religious feelings can run high, than in the more laid-back seaside city of Tel Aviv, but police were out in force to keep the peace. A police spokesman told the French news agency, quote, several hundred police officers are securing the event and approximately 3,000 people are taking part. We'll do everything to make sure that the event takes place as planned with no incidents, end quote. The parade and the march was routed away from predominantly ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods where opponents were holding a protest rally. So, you know, I jump up and down on the these phony-ass Christians in this country because they turn my stomach. But, you know, the Orthodox Jews and the Muslims are just as corrupted about some of these issues. I mean, it's... And I've said before, the reason I don't focus on the Muslims or the Jews is because they haven't really started in this country to do the hell-raising and the bigotry and the hatred that the Christians are fully capable. The Christians have had 2,000 years to practice this hatred and bigotry. The Muslims have only had, 1,300 years? So, you know, you get a 700-year running start, you're going to be much better at your hatred and your bigotry and your stupidity and so on and so forth. Yeah, I know. The Jews have been around for, 4,000, 5,000 years? But mostly, you know, it was a tribal group in the Middle East. I mean, that's all it was, with a bloodthirsty, devouring God who wanted to kill anything that crossed his line of sight. How in the hell, oh, geez, never mind. This is not church night. Roz wrote in, Mike, you probably read this article from Glenn Greenwald at Common Dreams. Here's one short paragraph. Quote, isn't it amazing that a newspaper editorial even has to say, you know, the president isn't really supposed to have the power to act as a judge, jury, and executioner and order American citizens assassinated with no transparency or due process? That was in the New York Times, by the way. And isn't it even more amazing that the current president has actually seized and exercised this power with very little controversy? That presidential power, literally the most tyrannical power a political leader can seize, is also now a barely noticed fixture of our political culture. Roz says, this still shocks me, although it is practically commonplace now. See, this is one of the issues. If these filthy-ass Republicans, if these disgusting right-wing Republicans who are going after Obama on his birth certificate, you half-witted jerks, you want an issue, there's your issue. Of course, Republicans and Christians love the idea of targeted assassination. They love it. That's as close to their crazed God as some of them will ever get. Targeted assassination. Ask the Canaanites. I mean, you can start there. Ay. Where are we? Mark is in San Francisco listening online. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you see the breakdown on the Romney tax plan?
I probably missed it.
Well, somebody actually did a scrutiny on it, and they figured that it would cost each family $2,000 in taxes and would be $5 trillion of tax cuts for the rich.
Well, in the first place, only the rich will get that. In the second place, I mean, we'll understand it. In the second place, the people are going to be taking it on the chin, are still going to believe that someday they're going to be a trillionaire, so they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's very sad. Also, have you noticed that the trend in the Republican Party is now you have to be a crazy teabag politician to be in the club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look what happened down in Texas.
Yeah. Now, there's the poster boy for the new Republican.
Cruz?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't he a piece of work?
Oh, man. Look at his what his policies are. That tells you what the Republican Party wants to instill on America.
And does anybody out there still want to debate Republicans equal fascism?
Oh, if that isn't the example, nothing is, Mike.
I'm hip.
And you know, these teabaggers are the brown shirts of the 1%.
Yep.
And like you said, you know, what's it going to take? Well, if they ever get into power and they get enough of these guys, there's no doubt in my mind, when people really figure out what they're all about, I don't see how anybody could take it. Because these guys are absolutely crazy, and they don't care about America. They're willing to, you know, destroy the economy or whatever it takes just to give the 1% what they want from us.
These teabaggers are the most unpatriotic group of people I've ever come across. I mean, they're worse than anything that I can think of that I'm aware of in our 200-plus year history. Teabaggers are, you said it, they hate this country. They hate our system of representative government, even though that system is totally dysfunctional now. But they hated it when it was working, before they were teabaggers. But teabaggers are horrific neo-fascists. They hate the country. They hate the democratic process. These are people who are just crazed. And I can't believe that a group so anti-American can be elected, at least in their primaries, and some of them to public office. They hate the country. How does that happen?
You know, Mike, that's a good question. But you have a network called Fox who promotes these cockroaches.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I think basically, Mike, that Fox News is probably one of the worst entities in this country or has this country's ever seen. They make Tokyo Rose look like a sweetheart.
That's true. And of course, it's run by criminals, people who have no problem tapping into phone messages, invading email. Look at the case in the ongoing situation in the UK with the Murdoch terror network there. I hope, and I know the Justice Department is doing investigative work right now, where it concerns the Murdoch terror empire in this country. And I hope the results of that investigation are released soon, and I hope they find what these filthy pigs have done. So you're right. I mean, the combination of insane teabaggers who hate America and Rupert Murdoch, who hates everything because he's old and soon going to die, that combination is what's pushing this this move to fascism in this country. There's no question about it. Hey, Mark, I got to move on. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, in a sane world, Murdoch would have lost his license to fill. Well, in a sane world, Limbaugh never would have gotten past his first 2 years as a propagandist. But we don't live in a sane world. Well, now, what is this? This came from, who sent this to me? It came without a signature. It's about the F-35s. I don't know, Vermont native, this seems to be contradictory. Here's the quote. Paul Hines wrote in 7 days, whatever that is, if the plane haters really want to roll up the runways, they might consider spending less time at City Hall and more time working their federal representatives. Fair Game asked Senators Leahy and Sanders and Representative Welch whether the recent uptick in opposition has changed their minds about the F-35. Closing ranks, they replied with a joint statement saying they have not changed their position, but are concerned about the potential impact of increased noise, and they have asked the Air Force to take the comments of all Vermonters into consideration. Well, I guess it doesn't contradict a Vermont native at all. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this one. I hope I get some more information on this. We'll be right back.
Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, I got this from Sand the other night, and I forgot to give it to you. Sand writes, "Hi, Mike. Several callers on several shows make the statement that there is no anti-war movement any longer. We at the United National or UNAC, we at UNAC are building constantly. Our organization is huge and diverse with hundreds of Muslims involved. We plan and hold actions all over and all the time. Check out the link. NationalPeaceConference.org. So check it out. NationalPeaceConference.org. Thanks, Sand. Mike is in Cincinnati listening on Sirius. Hi, Mike.
Hi, first time caller.
Oh, welcome.
Yes. I want to talk about Senator Sherrod Brown in Cincinnati being attacked on TV, attack ads by paid by Chamber of Commerce of
Yeah, well, it's happening all over the country. You realize that, Mike?
Well, you know, I'm particular focusing on him since Dennis Kucinich is not running.
Mm-hmm.
The opponent, Josh Mandel, only run on being a military, ex-military soldier. He tried to pretend he's a big shot and trying to become our next senator, replacing Senator Brown with a lot of money from the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 months before 9/11, I was gassed in Cincinnati by Apache helicopter for 5 hours. I don't know the reason. And Senator Brown is the only one who replied that said in the email if issue with Apache helicopter come up in the Senate, we'll discuss about my issue. But I haven't heard from him since.
Well, maybe he's waiting for you to show up.
You know, I can't. I'm related to Chairman Mao on my mom's side.
You what?
I don't want to get into the politics too much because he'll involve my family members. It's like the blind lawyer there in Washington there in the Congress a few days ago. Family member will get watched.
Okay. All right. Well, stay in touch, Mike. Let me know how it all works out, all right? Okay. Thank you. Kevin is in Colorado Springs, listening online. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about this Chick-fil-A thing.
Okay.
I got an email from a family member in the last day or two that it was a link to a conservative site, and that conservative site was talking about how wonderful the protest was by the conservatives and how that taking away of the copay to get contraceptives and that happened on August 1st was an attack just like 9/11. And Mike, I've come to the conclusion that the people that are the rank and file in these Christian movements are brainwashed.
Oh, well,
you said something the other night about not shame on them anymore, it's pity them. And I do, to an extent. And then the leaders of this movement are the ones that I really have despise, because they're the ones that are doing all the conning, and they themselves are living the high life.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I can't get over how people can be mass brainwashed is what it is.
Well, that's
a mass brainwashing.
That's all religion is.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm not talking about faith or spirituality. I'm talking about religion. Religion is nothing more than organized brainwashing that is determined to turn people into robots that will do exactly what their religious leaders tell them to do, even up to and including killing non-believers. And I don't care what the religion is. They will kill you. A Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, they will kill your ass. Given the right circumstances, and only because you are not them. And they love to kill each other. I mean, the Christian fundamentalists in this country are just almost chomping at the bit to get a war started with the Muslim world. Of course, most of the Christians in this country would not go fight. They would run and hide under rocks, but they want other people to do it. This is madness, Kevin. It's absolute madness, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, Mike, because I was involved in churches for several years, how do I come out of it and don't get brainwashed?
Well,
and how do other people do?
Well, you know, that happens to a lot of people. It's because your intelligence or your intelligence kicks in, your logic kicks in, your ability to reason kicks in, and you come to realize the slop that they were force-feeding you. Yeah, I got to leave it there, Kevin. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must get and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what.
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malone.
It's 25 before the hour. Okay, here is here's the article, one of the articles that that Peter sent. This is from the 29th of July. Senators Patrick Leahy, Democrat, Bernie Sanders, Independent, and Representative Peter Welch, Democrat, announced today the Secretary of Air Force has selected the Vermont National Guard to be the first Air Guard unit to base the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. The Air Force announced that Burlington is one of the two preferred choices for F-35 operations, along with Hill Air Force Base in northern Utah. And that Luke Air Force Base in Arizona is the top pick for training. Last year, the Air Force conducted a system-wide review of more than 200 locations before selecting Burlington, Vermont. Leahy said, quote, just as cream rises to the top, what? The Vermont Air National Guard's stellar tradition of quality and performance has carried Vermont to the top of this rarefied list. The Air Force's rigorous review of personnel and facilities across the country has confirmed the Vermont Guard's superb performance and capabilities. Leahy chairs the Senate National Guard Caucus and is a senior member of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Bernie Sanders said, quote, it is a sign of great national respect and admiration for the Vermont National Guard that it was selected by the Air Force in a very competitive process, end quote. Really? So Bernie Sanders. But I thought Bernie Sanders was, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought Bernie Sanders was sane. Maybe he was at one time. Okay. Well, thanks, Peter. Mark is in El Paso, Texas. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How are we doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, good. Mike, what I'm concerned with is this overspending on the military. The fall of the Soviet Union had nothing to do with Ronald Reagan. It had to do with an over-budgeted military. And we're spending billions and billions of dollars on stuff that we don't... Something blows up, we send, and we don't get a return on that. And I was thinking, what if we were to drop food and medicine to these people? Instead of...
Okay, come on, Mark. Come on.
I'm just venting. I'm just so angry right now.
Next thing you're going to be suggesting is we actually send people in to help heal them of their sicknesses. And before you do that, you'll probably suggest that we have national health care in this country to take care of our people. Let's give our people some food and medicine. No, Mark, you know, you are sane, obviously, and you're trying to find your footing, like I am, in an insane environment. I don't know how to do it. And apparently you don't either.
You're right. It's so ridiculous. And it's going to be our downfall, too.
Of course it is. Military spending, you know, the budget that we know about is right around $750 billion now, $750 billion. Our budget for weaponry and death and destruction is two or three times greater than, I think, I probably have this wrong, two or three times greater than all the other nations' defense budgets combined, or at least double or something like that, or at least equal to, I don't know. The numbers are just gibberish. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, think about this. $750 billion, if that money were spent in this country on the very desperate social needs that we have, not just infrastructure, but health care and education, free university for anyone who wanted to go. I mean, just on and on and on. Job creation. This country would be healed in about 6 months from this horror that we're in. And then if some of that money were taken to end the fossil fuel industry and develop energy sources that are rational, that are scientific. And now, I mean, you know, people were digging rocks out of the ground and burning them back in, you know, 6,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. We're still doing it. You know, digging up lumps of coal or chopping down trees and burning them. I mean, for God's sake.
Exactly. I think the sanity is gone. It's just completely, and these people will go to church Sunday morning and just, you know,
Because they've given up. I don't think they ever were involved. Most of these people, when they were 8 years old, they had their, I'm born again, you know, moment. And, this is just a temporary, dumping ground for these people. They can't wait to climb the stairway to heaven. They're all set to go. You know, they're waiting for the rapture. They want to float up naked to Jesus and just be happy as pigs in swill. It's just crazy. So since they believe that, why should they make any effort whatsoever to save the planet, to save something for subsequent generations? They don't care. This is the thing about religion. It is so toxic. It is so poisonous. It is so self-referential that it just grinds up everything in its path. And it's a shame. I would have thought, Mark, that we would have gotten way beyond this hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, this craziness about sky spooks and things whizzing through the air and hell and heaven and demons. But we're not. And the Christians want to drag us back into the Dark Ages, and they're doing a damn good job of it.
Yes, they are. Yes, they
are. Madness. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you checking in. We were talking about this the other day. Kathy and I don't know, we're coming back from someplace. We're talking in the car about this effort that the Christians are doing, and the Muslims, and the Orthodox Jews, to drag us back into the Dark Ages, you know, the 5th and 6th and 7th centuries, where there was, except, well, and of course, the only thing that kept science and literature alive then were the Arabs, the Muslims. They're the only ones, you know, the Caucasians, the Christians. They were just hell-bent on destroying everything with their spooks and haints and stories and you know, the Black Plague. I realized it was later. The Black Plague was God's punishment on the sinners and And you compare that to modern-day Christians who tell you that AIDS is God's punishment on sinners. I mean, God damn, we have not advanced beyond that? What a sad commentary. I mean, I would, if I were an observer from another planet and I could see the stretch of time, you know, I was an immortal or damn near an immortal, and I could see the stretch of time that went back about 2 million years, I guess that's the dividing point, when future human beings separated from not future human beings in the evolutionary path. And to watch 2-4 million years of evolution to produce Homo sapiens, all the mutations, all the changes that this species had to go through, you know, over over millions of years to get our big cranium and to get our big brain and to walk upright and to develop language and weapon making and tool making and then agriculture, which was not a good idea, and all of this stuff, to the point where we're still talking about haints and spooks and things that are in the sky and things that are underground. And, ooh, if you don't do this, you're going to be punished. Oh, but we have a loving God. Why did he kill 6 million? Because he's a goddamn maniac, among other things. I mean, it's just astonishing to me. Astonishing. Stupefyingly astonishing. For the hour, this is the Molloy program. Shahid is in Apex, North Carolina. Well, he was. Troy is in Sandy, Oregon. Hey, Troy.
Hi, Mike. First time caller.
Uh-huh.
I like this new show. I got one question for you.
Okay.
Why is Romney still running?
Why is what?
Why is Romney still running?
I guess because the people who want him to be president have assured him that he will be.
Oh, boy. The comic relief from his side.
I'm sorry, say it again, Troy.
The comic relief coming from his side.
Well, no, they're dead serious. They want Romney elected so that people like you and me can be disposed of.
That's why Obama got my vote.
Okay. What else you got, Troy?
Keep up the good work, Mike.
All right, sir. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate you checking in. Why is Romney still in? Yeah. It was just like George Bush. I think the first go-around back in 99 and 2000, it was made very clear to George W. Bush that if he stayed in the election or in the race, he would be president. Because the Secretary of State of Florida would lie, cheat, and steal the election. Choice Point company here in Georgia would purge the election rolls or the voter rolls in Florida to remove people who would no more vote for George W. Bush than swallow ground glass. The Supreme Court was ready to rule in favor of ending the democratic process in Florida. All it would take. Oh, and the voting machines were rigged to the point where, or not the voting machines, but the punch cards were rigged to the point. Oh, and the bully boys, the brown shirts that were Republican staffers, were ready to go to Florida and start beating on the windows and doors in the precincts where the vote counting was going on in order to cause a near riot. So all of this stuff was put together, and George Bush, who was apparently going to be the second dumbest president of the United States, was just told, just stay in there, George. You know, play with your Tinker Toys at night and read your comic books, and we'll get you elected. Well, not elected. We'll make you president. And that happened. And then the second time around, it was Ohio that was picked as the state that would have its democratic process disemboweled. And he was president again. So with Romney... Romney, who is even stupider than Bush, if that's possible, my God. So now Romney has been told the same thing. Just stay in it. We'll make sure you win it. Just stay there. All through the so-called debate process, which was no more of a debate than it was a worm wrestle, just stay with it. You will be president. So why should he drop out? You see what I'm saying? Michael is in San Francisco. Hello, Michael.
Mike.
Yes.
A couple minutes left. This is the first time I've called and spoken on the radio, but
well, I just want, good.
I just wanted to say that you're Superman and super. We need you so much. I commented mainly first to Kathy that, you know, it wonders me that people haven't thought about why or how the old Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire.
It had to do with Constantine?
Well, yes, of course. But it's an interesting conversation point, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to compliment you on all of the stuff you said in the last couple of days and the article from Derek Jensen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a very good friend who, a lot of people know him, Bob Alexander, who writes... and produces our little, the only fun we have on this program any longer, and that's Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. Mm-hmm. He also is an essayist himself. We have moments with Bob that we do on this program. He's a former Hollywood screenwriter, and I believe he produced some what we would call grade B flicks back in the day. But Bob is a very interesting... very interesting past. Mm-hmm. and present and future. And he's the one who turned me on to Derek Jensen. He said, you've got to start reading this guy. And I haven't read any of Jensen's books yet, but I will read excerpts, you know, essays. A lot of people out there will send me these essays that Jensen has written, and they make perfect sense.
Well,
so,
the saddest thing to me, and the reason I guess I called, is that I went following, having heard this, and it struck me online that article was published in 2006.
Yeah, 6 years old, I know.
And a few years ago, when I was on a flight back from the northern part of the Carolinas.
We got about 10 seconds here, Michael.
Okay, and I started reading a book on the crisis, I think it is, of global warming or something.
Right.
It was an academic piece. But what struck me most is it was published in 1989.
Well, that's the thing. This is, the issue of global climate change that we're facing now is not new. It's just not new. Michael, thanks. I got to leave it there. I hope you called in again. That's it, Truth Seekers. I'm out of here. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.